Good morning, Redeemer.
Good morning.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome all those that are on the internet. And welcome to those who maybe even years from now get on the internet and see this broadcast. You're all welcome. We're all coming today in the name of the Lord. Some of the items I want to call your attention to, just a couple here. There's so many. Number one, Vladimir Pickman will be here next Sunday. He'll be at the ABF at 9:30 doing some upgrade, or not upgrade, but giving us the recent information about his ministry in Berlin, from Berlin, Germany. He'll be here also in the service for a moment to just have a missionary moment with him. And then after that, there'll be a potluck. There's still a sign-up sheet out there. There's room for more names, and the sign-up sheet is for potluck food that will be served at that time. Also, there's an item here in the middle of the bulletin. It says Opened Bible Academy. I had to look at that several times. The Open Bible Academy is, for some of y'all who've been around for quite some time, it's the DTS Lay Institute, sort of reborn, except this time the instruction is free. So there will be classes down at DTS, there'll be classes online, and you can go to that website that's mentioned there and start looking at that. If you go to the bottom of their page, they're wanting you to send your name and an email address so they can keep you up to date. This will be all the way in January. I know it's a long time. Gives you time to pray about it, think about it. And I think it's a really wonderful thing to do. It's going to be about a 2.5 year, if you stay up with it. It's going to be about a 2.5 year program where you can go through the Bible and really get grounded in God's Word. Also, I want to mention that we have a need for greeters, and we have a need for some security personnel. Please see Terry McCullough after you've prayed about this, and we just want to get some information, but please, we need volunteers. Let's turn our attention to the Lord, to the service. Let us pray. Our Lord, we believe in you, God. We believe in the God who is supernatural, who created the heavens and the earth. We believe in the God who is supernatural and created the heavens and the earth and sustains it every moment of every day. Holy God, we come before you. We come before you in the name of your Son, who said that those who are gathered together in his name, he'll be in the midst of them also. Lord, we just ask you to be with members of our church that are hurting, the widows, and if we have any orphans, Lord, we ask you to be with them. Lord, we ask you to be with our neighbors that live around us in our neighborhoods. We ask you to be with our spiritual neighbors, St. Bart's. Bless Chris and his efforts. Bless the school, Highland Christian School. Bless Jeff and the teachers and the boys and girls that will be coming soon to class. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, Redeemer. How's everyone doing? Let's stand to our feet and start worship together.
Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue. Sing to Lord. To Lord, oh, to Lord, oh, to remember me. To Lord, oh, to Lord, oh, to remember me. To Lord. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take it too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take it too. While He's calling you, sing to Lord.
All right, everyone, as you make your way back to your seats, but please remain standing. We are going to focus on the scriptures for just a moment.
Scripture this morning is from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord, For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. This is God's word to us this morning.
Amen. Let's continue in worship together.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make the wretched's treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man.
Behold the man upon a cross. My sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
I will not boast.
I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
This I know.
But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. My Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, mountains bow down and the seas will roll at the sound of your name. joy at the work of your hand. Forever I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the word of your hand. Forever I love you. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. In my mother's womb, form me with your hands, known and loved by you. Before I took a breath, when I doubted, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And you make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name. There's a healing light, it's just beyond the clouds. Though I've walked through fire, I see clearly now. I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You make all things work together for my future and for my good. You make all things work together for your glory and for your name, yes, God. For your name, when I doubt, when I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas. and I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the chemist and the clay, and you make all things work together for my future. And for my good, you make all things work together for your glory, oh, and for your name. When I doubt it, Lord, remind me I'm wonderfully made. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. And I know nothing has been wasted, no failure or mistake. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. You're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay. Oh, you're an artist and a potter, I'm the canvas and the clay.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are still working on us. Every day you're building us, growing us through the good and the bad. Lord, you work through everything, and we can trust you in everything. I pray this morning that our hearts would be open to receive everything you have for us in this place, that we wouldn't come in here and go through the motions and somehow miss it. Lord, but we would lay ourselves down at your feet, openly and humbly, knowing that anything that's good comes from you. Lord, I pray that you would use Forrest, speak through him this morning to encourage us, tell us anything that we need to hear, and I pray that we would have ears to hear it. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, the genre of tragedy is kind of uncomfortable for us. I don't know if, when the last time was you've seen a movie that's considered a tragedy, or the last time you read a book that's a tragedy, but it's a genre that's not super popular. And basically what happens in a tragedy is there is a hero, and then there is the villain, and at the end of the story, the hero loses. And it's kind of a bummer. Like, I don't like watching tragedies. You know, I always want the good guy to win. That's just me. You know, but there was a movie not that long ago that was put out that would probably technically be considered a tragedy, and it's the movie Batman versus Superman, Something Begins, The Legacy Begins, or the Thing Begins. But anyways, in this movie, Batman and Superman fight, and then they kind of kiss and make up, and then Superman goes up against the real bad guy, and then he dies. And I'm telling you, I refuse to watch the movie. I've done a lot of research about the movie because it's going to be in my sermon today, but I refuse to watch the movie because I can't handle tragedies. I can't handle them. I'm like, no, I'm not going to watch my favorite all-time superhero that's pretty much invincible. I'm not going to watch him die, you know, because that's just wrong. And there's a sense, although not everybody is necessarily inclined the way I am, there's a sense in which we're uncomfortable with the genre of tragedy. It's not something that we sit down in an afternoon and like, hey, I want to go watch a tragedy. It's just we just don't do that. It's not the way that we're wired. But people generally are uncomfortable with tragedy. And one of the things that I want to suggest to you this morning, I want to bring up to you, is that I think a lot of people in our culture, in modern humanity, they kind of look at the story of what happened to Jesus at the cross, and in the back of their minds, they maybe don't articulate it, but they think in the back of their minds, that was a tragedy. Because, you know, you can understand why someone might feel that way, because Jesus is clearly portrayed as the hero. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's loving. He goes up against the man. He goes up against the religious people of his day. He goes up against the government, and he's willing to do that for the poor and the destitute and the people that are unlovely. And so he's the good guy. He's the hero of the story. And at the end of the story, at least the part, the end of the cross, he dies a gruesome death. And the story of the cross is something that a lot of people in our culture are semi-familiar with. If you live in America, it's likely that you've kind of run into the story of the cross at some point. And so people kind of hear this story, they hear the details of the story, or some of the details of the story, and they think, wow, that was a tragedy. And the reality is to some degree, we may also have a similar notion about the cross. That the cross was a tragedy. Jesus was truly, he's the hero of the story, and then in the end, he dies. And so the question is, in our mind, it's not a question yet, but I'm going to pose it, but it's the idea is it seems like the cross was a tragedy. What I want to do this morning is I'm going to pose a question. We're going to pose a question about the cross. We're going to hear from a guy named Simeon, but I'm going to pose a question about the cross, and I'm going to challenge your thinking, maybe even in the recesses of your mind, you didn't even know you were thinking this, but I'm going to challenge in your mind the concept of, was the cross a tragedy? It has some of the makings for it, but is it truly a tragedy? Was what Jesus did on the cross, was that a tragedy? Did the hero lose, ultimately? And so as we look at this, we're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture in the book of Luke. We are in the middle of a series in the book of Luke. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke. And what we're kind of doing is we're walking through the instances in the early part of Jesus' life. We talked about around the Christmas season, Jesus was born, and we looked at his miraculous birth. And now we're looking at some of the episodes that happened after that, when he was a baby today and when he was a child. And we're looking at some of those episodes, and today we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. And specifically, the story that we're looking at today is the story where Joseph and Mary bring baby Jesus into the temple, and they meet a man named Simeon. And Simeon then takes this opportunity and he talks to Joseph and Mary about who this baby really is and what this baby is going to do. And it's a wonderful story. It's a powerful story, but it's going to help us to begin to look at the answer of, was the cross a tragedy? Was the cross a tragedy? And as we look at what Simeon says about Jesus and about what Jesus is going to do, we're going to see that the cross was generated. It was global, and it was gut-wrenching. And I think what you're going to see as we look at this, that the cross was not a tragedy. There's elements of it that feel tragic, but it wasn't a tragedy. And we're going to see that from the beginning, the plan was for the cross. So the first thing is that the cross was generated. And Simeon's going to tell Jesus' mom and dad that this plan has been in the works for a long, long time. Look with me at verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 28a. It says this: at this time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and he was a righteous and devout. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, verse 28, Simeon was there. It's an interesting time. We understand that this is the time period when Joseph and Mary brought Jesus to the temple. Verse 23 says, at this time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. And he was righteous and devout. Now, we don't know a lot about Simeon as far as his age. People have guessed he was an older man, but that's not clearly stated in the scriptures. He was there. We don't know a lot about him. We don't know his family. We don't know his religious affiliation other than being a worshiper of Yahweh. But we do know about him that he was righteous and devout. And it's the text, the Luke is presenting, inspired by the Holy Spirit, that Simeon was a good guy. He was really trying to do the right thing in his life. He was righteous and devout. And he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Jewish people, the Israelite people, had been promised a Messiah who would deliver them. And Simeon believed that and believed that the Lord was going to do that. And so he was eagerly waiting for this to happen. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Well, this is not a common thing that the Holy Spirit would communicate to somebody at this time, that they would see the Messiah before they died. But for some reason, we don't know, the Lord doesn't tell us why he did it, but for some reason, he went to Simeon and said, Simeon, here's the deal. You're going to see the Messiah before you die. I promise you, as the supreme God of the universe, that you will see the Messiah before you die. And so, obviously, Simeon was waiting for this. He was like, sweet, this is great. I can't wait. So he's eagerly waiting for this to happen. Verse 27, and that day, the day when Jesus' parents brought him to the temple, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So the Spirit supernaturally worked in Simeon's life, and he tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, go to the temple. Simeon probably knew what was going on, but we don't know. But somehow the Lord intervened in this situation, and he moved Simeon, and Simeon went to the temple. And it just so happens that it was the same time when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required. Simeon was there. And the point of this story is to illustrate that God is faithful to do what he's planned to do. The story of Simeon being promised and Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the temple and Simeon meeting them, this was all planned. It was all pre-planned, and the Lord worked out the circumstances to bring this to pass. And ultimately, the lesson and the idea that's trying to be communicated here is that the deal is that the cross, which is the ultimate where this baby was going to end up, the cross was generated. This was not a happenstance thing that happened. The Lord is working in the details of all that is going on in this story to bring about the cross. And oftentimes we, like the people who watched the movie, who didn't know what was going on, the Batman versus Superman, the Dawn of Justice, if you saw that and you didn't know what was going on, at the end of the movie, Superman dies, and you're just like, what just happened? Superman can't die. Like, he can't die. It seems so chaotic and unexpected. And you're like, what's going on? That's wrong. It seemed wrong. When I heard about it, I was like, this is wrong. Superman can't die. And in a lot of respects, people who saw what happened on the cross or who heard about it later, they looked at the cross and they said, this is wrong. This is all wrong. This is unexpected. This is not what I expected. This is not what I anticipated to see happen. And it had that disorienting feel to it. But the truth of the matter is that Superman's death was planned. See, to the director and the writers of the movie, that wasn't unplanned. As a matter of fact, the story was intended to go to that point because they wanted to make some plot changes down the road, and the only thing that would do it is Superman's death. So the people who were sitting in the theater watching this, they were like, oh no. But the director, he knew exactly what was going on. And the same thing is true with the cross. People often see or know a little bit about the cross and they think, oh no, the train got off the tracks. God lost track of what was going on and Jesus all of a sudden got crucified. No. That was a part of the plan from the beginning. The plan from the very beginning was that Jesus would go to the cross. Let me push your thinking here a little bit. I want you to think about this. It's hard to do sometimes because we are bound by time. And God is not. But I want you to think about this. Before humanity was created, Jesus was planning to go to the cross. Before Jesus was born in a human body, before David was on the throne in Jerusalem, before Noah built his ark, and before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and likely probably before the earth was even created, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were sitting around and said, what are we going to do? And the plan was to send Jesus to the cross. And that's hard for us to wrap our minds around because it seems like it was so unpremeditated. It seems like it was reactionary, but it never was. It was the plan from before man was created that Jesus would go to the cross. And the message that is clear for us is that the cross was generated. So was the cross a tragedy? No, it wasn't. It was generated. It was a part of the plan from the very beginning. And to help us a little bit understand of why it worked out the way that it did, we need to understand the next part that Simeon says, and we're going to see that the cross was global. The intention of what God wanted to achieve at the cross was to be global. Look with me at the end of verse 28. It says, the first part says, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms, and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Last part of verse 28 says, he, being Simeon, took the child in his arms. And it's interesting the way that Luke writes this. He writes it very graphically. And a lot of times we read it and we don't think there's actually a picture being drawn here. We don't know the age of Simeon. Some people like to think he was old. I'm not convinced of that. I think he might have been, you know, a middle-aged guy. But here is this man, and he took this baby into his arms. Now, remember this or realize this. Jesus is not his baby. It's not his grandkid. It's not his kid. He took somebody else's baby and he wrapped the baby in his arms. And the text is really clear. It doesn't say he picked up the baby and held him out like this. It says he took the baby in his arms. And the reason that's so important is because what Luke is going to do is he's going to show a contrast that this little tiny baby is going to do something really amazing. So you can't miss this picture. Simeon, however old he was and however big he was or whatever, he grabbed this baby and he wrapped him in his arms. And then verse 29 says this, Ah, Sovereign Lord. The original language is a term that is used to describe God, to describe the Lord, that's not common. And it really refers to the role of a master. So he's really referring to God. He's saying, Master. And then he says about himself, Now let your servant... Word here usually is translated slave. And he's talking about this master-slave relationship. He's just emphasizing his submission to the Lord. He says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant or slave die in peace. And many people take that to be, oh, he must have been old and about ready to die, and now he can die in peace. But we don't know that for sure. The text doesn't say. But what he is trying to communicate is, as many days as you have left for me to live, I want to live them in peace because you have fulfilled your promise to me that I would see the Messiah before I died. He says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. The Lord fulfilled his promise to him. I have seen your salvation. Now remember this picture. There's this man holding this baby in his arms. And he's in the middle of the temple and he's praising God. He says, praise God for this little baby. Because I have seen your salvation. The salvation of murderers. The salvation of wicked, evil people all across the globe. The salvation of these people is in this little baby. That picture is such a contrast there. And it's intended. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Again, referencing the fact this was not something that was not planned. This was prepared, and it was prepared for all people. For all people. Since the beginning of the creation of the nation of Israel, God has been trying to get the Israelite people to take their knowledge of God and share it with the rest of the nations around them. But they wouldn't do it. They didn't do it. And so now God's going to fix that. He says, this salvation is for all people. He, verse 32, he is a light, speaking of Jesus, to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. This baby was going to go to the cross, and in so doing, he would bring about salvation for all of the nations on the globe. The thing that is going to happen here was not intended to stay in Jerusalem. It was intended to be a global shockwave. It's interesting, as I did some research on this movie, I read an article by the director, and he said they had to kill Superman. They had to. And the reason that they had to kill Superman was because they wanted to, among other things, they wanted to change, it's called a character arc, they wanted to change Batman. You see, before this movie, at least in the DC, the movies, Batman is kind of a dark figure. He's very conflicted. He's kind of an outside person. But after the movie where Superman dies, all of a sudden Batman becomes more focused. He becomes more lighter. He becomes more of a character, a superhero that people can latch onto. And the director said, that was the point. The point is we had to do something in the movie that changed Batman. And what they chose to do was they chose to make a fight between Superman and Batman. Superman, they make up so Batman doesn't kill Superman, but Superman ends up dying, and it's partially Batman's fault. And the drastic nature of what happens there explains the reason why Batman's character changes. And the director said he had to do that. And in a similar way, what is happening here at the cross is the Lord intended for what Christ did on the cross to be global. He intended for what Christ did to reach out beyond Jerusalem into all the nations. And in order to do that, there had to be something with some weight to it. There had to be something with some punch to it. And so that's why the cross is the way that it is. Because it has punch to it. It's something that can be global. The challenge, I think, for us is to begin to see and to begin to feel the weight of what happened at the cross. And to understand that what God was doing at the cross, although it was painful to see and painful to read about, the point of what the Lord wanted to do was he wanted to do something that would take the message globally. He wanted to do something that would influence the culture so much that they couldn't help but take it around the world. And it's exactly what happened. What happened is Jesus' death on the cross influenced everybody in Jerusalem. Not everybody believed, but everybody in Jerusalem was influenced. And then that influence spread to Europe, and then to Africa, and then eventually to the Americas, and all over the whole rest of the globe. But it's interesting to think that in order for that message of what Christ came to do to have such a punch to it, it had to be the way that it was. It had to be unfair. It had to be brutal, because that was the only way to motivate people to share it with the whole globe. Was the cross, was it something that would be considered a tragedy? No, it wasn't. The cross was generated. It was a part of the plan. The cross was global. It was God's intention from the beginning that the message of the cross would go out around the whole world. But the reality is that the message of the cross was gut-wrenching. And it was. Look with me at verse 33. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Jesus' parents heard what Simeon was saying about their baby. Now, they had already both been visited by an angel. An angel told them some things about Jesus' future. But Simeon is saying some more now that the angels didn't say. And his parents were amazed at what was being said about him. He's just a baby. Then Simeon blessed Joseph and Mary. And he said to Mary specifically, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise." This child is going to do something at the cross that is going to cause people in Israel, some of them will fall and some of them will rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him, and many in Jerusalem did. As a result, verse 35, as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. What Jesus did on the cross was so gut-wrenching that whenever people heard about it or whenever people saw it, their reaction would reveal what was going on inside of their heart. It was inevitable. And then he said specifically to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your very soul." The nature of what happened at the cross was so brutal that it makes anyone who hears about it or anyone who sees it have to react. They have to react. And that seems a little bit maybe uncomfortable to us and weird for us to think about, but I want you to understand that that was intentional. The Lord designed the program to work this way. When people see it, when people heard about it, they couldn't not respond. And in their response, whatever their response was, it would reveal what was going on inside their heart. That was the Lord's plan. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to make it in such a way that people would have to respond. I tell you, when I heard that Superman died, I reacted. Just like most of the people when the movie came out did. They reacted somehow. I said, DC Comics is dumb. They should have never killed off Superman. That was my reaction. Other people said, oh, that was brilliant or whatever. Everybody had their own thing. But the funny thing was, is nobody heard about what happened to Superman. It was like, oh, that's weird. And just went on. Like, it generated an opinion. Everybody had different opinions, but it generated an opinion because it was such a huge event. People had to respond. And in a similar way, what the cross does in the lives of people is it causes them to have to respond. Not everybody responded and said, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Not everyone did. But they had to respond somehow. And so the challenge that I have for you this week is what I want to challenge you to do is I want you to revisit the cross this week. I challenge you in, at some point this week to sit down with your Bible and read through the story of the crucifixion. If you don't necessarily want to read about it, there are some videos that kind of have a video portrayal of what happened. The Passion of the Christ is kind of gross and really brutal, but it's pretty powerful. That's one you could watch. There's the Gospel of John has a rendering. Even the Jesus film has a rendering of what happened at the crucifixion. But either way, I want to challenge you this week to spend some time, and I want you to revisit the cross. And the reason that I'm challenging you to do that, the reason I'm encouraging you to do that is because the cross has that nature where it causes you to have some kind of reaction. You have to react somehow. It was designed that way. It was intended that way from the very beginning to do that. And it will do that in your own life. So this week, take a few minutes, read through the story of the cross, and watch a video of what happens on the cross. And allow yourself to be picked in your interest, in your mind, about what happened. One of the things that's kind of weird about missing this movie in the story. I don't have a problem with superhero movies. They don't bother me to watch them. I just didn't want to watch that one. So I watched the next one, and this is the one where Superman comes back to life. You know, so I'm like, okay, I can watch that one. That's not bad. Superman comes back to life. That's cool. So I watched it, and as I'm going through the movie, I'm like, that was really weird. What does that mean? And how does this play into it? And how does this fit in the story? I don't understand. And so I had to ask my daughter or my son. I was like, hey, what's this story? What's going on here? And they're like, oh, well, the movie you wouldn't watch, this is what was going on. And this is why this is happening in this movie. And I realized later that what I had missed was even though I was uncomfortable with the fact that Superman died, I also missed a lot of plot development that was built upon in later movies. I missed out on this one thing, and I thought if I just skipped over it, it'd be great. I could just keep going and figure out what was catch up later. But the reality is there were things that happened in this movie that I needed later on. And the reality for each of us is this morning, if we're uncomfortable with what happens at the cross, if we kind of skip over that part of the story, if we don't think about it, if we kind of just gloss over it like it wasn't that big of a deal, what ends up happening is we don't understand things that are happening in the world around us. Because that was so critical to the story. And more likely what's will happen is if you avoid the cross, if you don't think about the cross, if you don't think about what was happening there, you're not going to understand what God is doing in your life today. Because it's so critical to the story. So this week, take some time, read through the story in your Bible, or watch it on video, of the crucifixion of Christ. It won't be fun. There's nothing about it that's fun. It's not entertaining. It's not great. But it's good for you. I think it'll help you. If you're here this morning and you are at the place in your life where God is pursuing you, you know the Lord is pursuing you, but you've been running away from Him. He's been pursuing you. He's been trying to get your attention. And you've just been running. With all of my heart, I just want to tell you this morning, quit running. The Lord is pursuing you because He loves you. And He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. If you have some questions about that, if you're not sure what all that would look like, come and see me after the service. I'll be up here up front. If you also have some things that are going on in your life, or there's some things that you have questions about, or things that just don't make sense, and you want somebody to pray with you, there'll be some people up here at the end of the service who would love to pray with you. And as we close the service, we're going to enjoy the Lord's Supper together. If you didn't receive one of these communion cups on your way in, just raise your hand. There's some gentlemen in the back who will make sure you get one. And what we do here is we just have a time where we remember the cross. We remember what Christ did on the cross. We remember the actions, the things that he did, and what that achieved for us. As we participate in this time, this is an opportunity for us to remember that moment that the Lord provided for us so we could have an intimate relationship with him. We remember that. If you're here this morning and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, it's probably best for you to let this time pass and just think through where you're at in your relationship with the Lord. But if you do have a relationship with God, if you are a believer and you have that understanding that no matter what happens, you will spend an eternity with him, then you're welcome to take part in this, the Lord's Supper. And there's two components to the Lord's Supper. The first part is take the little plastic piece off the top and reveal the wafer. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the night when he was going to be crucified, the Lord took some bread with his disciples and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." That night, Jesus would, at the hands of angry men and women, he would shed his blood and much of it. And he said, this element of what we do in the service of the remembering the Lord's Supper, he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." He says, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Amen. Let's stand and sing one more time before we leave this morning. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
If you need someone to pray with you after the service, feel free to come forward. We'll be happy to find someone that will just lift up whatever concerns you have to the Lord. Now all glory to God, who is able, according to his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.